right. Good morning. Let's not be too friendly. It's church. Why don't we start our time together with some prayer? Father, we gather here together, your people, and we acknowledge that which we've just sung again, that you are our God and there's none like you. And we praise you. Father, what a joy it is for us to be able to be together, to knit our hearts together under the umbrella of your love and your faithfulness and your graciousness to us. Father, we are overwhelmed by who you are, and we're overwhelmed by your Son Jesus and who he has been for us. Father, I pray now, would you guide us as we study your word? Will you open our hearts by the power of your Spirit to communicate to us that which you want to tell us this morning? Father, we want to leave this place as changed people because we had an encounter with you. And I pray that you would accomplish that for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, I got to tell you, I was telling Howard this morning that there's probably a little bit of irony in that because of how things have been this weekend, with the vote and all the announcement stuff, my ability to focus on preparing for a sermon was a little compromised. And so the irony is this might be the worst sermon you ever hear from me. So, but God's in control. Amen. Amen. growing up as the middle son of three, I found myself frequently, constantly stepping into the shadow of my big brother. I don't know if you've experienced that, if you had a sibling that was older than you. So like when I went to high school, I followed my brother into high school. He exited as I entered. And then the people, the teachers, the principal, they'd be like, oh, you must be a Fitzwater. And I get to the same college that he went to. He exited when I entered. So I get there, all the professors, oh, you must be a Fitzwater. It was such a blessing. The blessing isn't reserved for just siblings, though. My son, unfortunately, had to endure the very similar treatment. So he went to the same university as I did. And there are a ton of friends that Christy and I still have down there in Central Texas where the university is. And in one weekend, my son was on the worship team. He was playing and singing. And after church, a woman came up to him and said something like, we've never met before. But you have to be a Fitzwater. And poor Caleb got that a lot. This was an old college friend of ours and of Christy and I's. And the physical resemblance was more than she could ignore. And unfortunately, that's not the only burden that Caleb has to deal with in regards to being connected to me. That burden we're a lot alike in personality. We're a lot alike in personality, so that resemblance goes beyond appearance and goes to personality as well. But I got to tell you, for me, in that regards, as his dad, and that we are so much alike, there's a great advantage in this. Great advantage. So the similarities between him and I have allowed me to be a lot more accurate in my prayers for him. Because I know him. Because I know me. And I know his bent, his tendencies, the things that will distract him, where he's vulnerable, based off of where those things land for me. So when we sent him off to college, my advice, my cautions and my prayers focused on these concerns that kind of rose higher than the other concerns. There are some that just rose up higher. Please, Lord, help him remember why he's at school. May his attention to his studies at least be as important as his attention to student activities, the great local burger shacks, movie marathons, and the girls' dorm. So, and God was gracious. He did great at school. And yet when we went down there for his graduation, he could take me to the great burger shacks and he met his future wife there. So, I mean, you know, all the things, right, still happen. But I knew how to pray for him because I know. Because I know I was able to pray more accurately. We continue in our study through the book of Colossians, and I love this book. It's one of my favorite books. And we looked last week at Paul's introduction to us and then his prayer of thankfulness. Right? He prays this prayer of thankfulness. Since we have heard about you, we've been praying this, knowing this is true about you. And we, Pastor Howard walked us through that last week. And this week, we're going to continue to look at Paul's prayer, but his prayer focus changes a little bit. It's a prayer for the higher things. That there are things and concerns from Paul that rise higher than everything else. He's like, I am going to pray for these things. He wants to pray for these higher things. Why? Because Paul knows. He knows. He knows what it means to be a believer in this world. He knows what it means to follow Jesus and live against the current of the world. And he prays for the higher things, that the Colossians would grow deeper in their understanding of God's will and that they would be strengthened in their walk. He prays from a place of knowing. And we're going to look at that prayer this morning. Our passage is in chapter 1, starting in verse 9 through 14. It says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light and in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Whew. I got to tell you, that is a chewy bit of scripture there. There is so much to chew on there, and we could do a whole series just right there. We're not going to. We'll be out of here at least by 2. So it'll be all right. So in verses 3 through 8, Paul says, "I've heard about this. I've heard this about you." So we're praying thankfully. "I've heard this about you." Now we get to verses 9 through 14, and he's like, "Now I pray that I will hear this about you." He goes from, "I heard this about you and I'm thankful. Now let me tell you what I'm praying that I will hear about you." And that's what we get in verses 9 through 14. And isn't that how it is with us? I right off the bat, we're kind of confronted with this truth. Like in our mind, we have this description of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be a mature disciple of Christ, a mature believer. And we might have that in our mind. This is what that looks like. I've got it all laid out in my mind, but here is the truth for me today and the truth for you today. You are here. Now I pray that you'll be here. That's what Paul is saying to the church in Colossae. He's like, "I am thankful and I know and I'm praying with great thanks. You are here, but now I pray that you will be here." And there's not a single one of us in this room that that prayer doesn't apply to. As you walked in, and you might have been a believer for decades and have been faithfully following Jesus Christ, your spiritual resume of obedience and spiritual fruit is beautiful. But I will tell you, if that is the case, you are here and I pray that you will be here. And really, that's the heart's desire for Howard and I as pastors here at Glacier, is for us as a congregation to understand this truth. We are here. But we pray that we'll go here because God has more for us. There's deeper waters for us to go into, isn't there? We have growth. We haven't arrived yet. There's not a single person who can raise their hand who can say, "I have arrived." Unless you're seeing Jesus face to face, you can't say that yet. Am I right? And so that's Paul. He starts with that. And I love that. So we're going to focus on two key verbs in our passage because, like I said, there's so much to chew on that we won't be able to get to all of it. Two key verbs, and they're the high things for which Paul is praying in regards to the Colossians. And hanging from these two verbs are these amazing phrases and descriptors and qualifiers that just make these verbs really pop because they're so rich. And in both cases of these verbs, we're the recipients. That Paul is praying that this will be done in us. that this will happen to us, that a power from outside of us, God, will do this inside of us. That's the prayer here. So we get this moment. Paul's like, immediately we're looking up because this is what God's doing. And I'm praying that God does this in you. And so the first one we get to, Paul says, I am asking, since the day we've heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you may be filled. That's the first one, with the knowledge of his will. Paul knows what it is to be a follower of Jesus in the world. And here is one of the high things he prays for, that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's great. Paul prays. And this is what Paul means here. It's like, it's my prayer that you would be, that word filled is a great verb. It's really cool. It means like completely controlled by, to the brim, fully furnished, which is kind of a cool phrase, right? That kind of describes that. Being filled is like you are completely furnished. It is my prayer that you be completely dominated by, furnished by the knowledge of God's will, filled so much with an understanding of his will that there's not room for anything else. Paul knows that there's a lot of things vying for that space in your life. A lot of things vying for that space. It's like, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. An overflowing, life-changing, controlling understanding of God's will. And he goes on to kind of qualify it. And in his description, we get these things that hang from that. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you see that? That you'd be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's fascinating. Filled with by the knowledge of God's will so much that it leads to aha moments. Does that make sense? When I say aha moments, you know what I'm talking about? Those moments, right, when you encounter something or someone, a life issue, and you're like, oh, okay, I see it. I get it. That's how God wants me to be in this situation. These are the moments that you're able to apply God's will to your real life stuff. You're doing real life things. And Paul says, I want you to have such an understanding of his will that as you're doing real life stuff, you see him. You see his desire. You see where his hand is working. You understand what he wants from you in that situation. He wants you to have those kinds of aha moments as you do life. That's his prayer. Because the truth is what? We go out from this place. I mean, we all know what's expected of us in here. We come. We sit. We sing. We confess. We share. We listen to God's word. We pray. That's all. Like, there's not a lot of aha moments in the circumstances we face here, because we know. But we go out there and we're confronted in all kinds of stuff. Different circles, different people, different life circumstances that we face. And Paul's like, I want you to have such a grip on God's will that when you're out there, you see God's hand moving in what's going on around you. And that you have such a relationship with him that you understand what his purpose is for you in that moment. Oh, how rich that would be, huh? If that happened for us, he wants us to be able to comprehend what he's doing. Have you ever gone into, like, I don't know, Cabela's or Sportsman or Snappy's, pick your sporting goods store? And inevitably, you'll walk across some counter that has relatively cheap sunglasses, but their advertisement is that they're polarized. And you grab those polarized glasses and they have this little thing next to the mirror, like a mirror so you can check yourself out, right? And then they have this little like river scene or something. And then you put those sunglasses on and what happens? All these fish just pop out. And it's like, these are great glasses. I need these. I want to see the fish, right? Because you put them on and it just reveals. That's what Paul's talking about. He's like, I want you to have this kind of a grip of God's, of understanding God's will in your life, that you see his hand working in places that you, that are just life places for you, and that just jumps out. I'm praying that God fills you like that. Because that's a spiritual thing, isn't it? You can study God's word all you want from an academic place, But unless God does a transforming work in your life by the power of His Spirit, because He resides there, it's going to be really hard for your vision to change and to understand His will in such a way as that. So understanding His will, it always leads me to having two questions. How and what? When it comes to understanding His will, how and what? How do we get filled to such a place so that we have those aha moments? And what is God's will? Those are common questions that I have all the time when I read this passage. And remember that we're the recipients here. God is doing this work amongst us. And so what's the how? How do we do this? We don't fill ourselves up. We don't fill ourselves up. That's not what Paul's saying. I pray that you fill yourself up. That's not what he says. I pray that you will be filled, that God does the filling. So how does that happen? Look at what it says, this familiar passage in Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How do we know? How do we get filled? What does that look like? How do we get filled to a place where God then lets us see and understand His will? Well, Romans says that that we present ourselves as a sacrifice. It's all about position, isn't it? It's getting into that position of humble surrender, where we come before the Lord and we surrender before Him and we say, "You are God and I am not, and I am all yours." And we relinquish the things we're holding on to. And in that position, He does a work in our life, because that's this ultimate position of worship. When we think of worship, we think of what the team led us in this morning. And certainly we want that to be the case. But I want to tell you something. If what we did this morning isn't accompanied by a surrendering of your heart and an honest acknowledgement of who God is and who you are in the face of who God is, worship did not happen here. Worship happens when we come before Him and we bow and we present ourselves as a sacrifice before Him, acknowledging that He's God and we're not, and surrendering those things. Then that's the position in which we get filled. Because then later on, right, the passage says, man, that's going to lead to transformation, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not conformed. Right? Conforming is what we do. We're conformers, right? That comes naturally by the flesh. But that being transformed, that comes from within, outside of ourself, as we humble ourselves. That's how we know. That's how we know. That's how we're filled. And He transforms us by His Spirit through His Word. And we know what His perfect will is. He reveals it to us. So our act of worship puts us in a position to allow His Spirit to do the filling that we need Him to do, so that we understand His will. What is His will? That's the second question, isn't it? So what is His will? I don't know about you, but there have been this has been a phrase that I've really had in times in my life struggled with. Knowing the will of God. Right? I mean, I'm just like, come on. Always looking, always wondering, and knowing God's will kind of turned out to this, like, this great scavenger hunt. Where it's like it's this elusive thing, that this treasure thing that I'm looking for. And what is His will for this? And what is His will for that? And should I do this or should I do that? Always wondering and looking. My God, where's my burning bush? Right? If you just give me a burning bush or a hand on the wall writing something. We always want that. Oh, I'm not saying that it isn't important to seek God's will for specific things. Please don't hear that. But I will say that there are times in which God's not going to give us the exact thing we're supposed to do. But He's going to say, with the wisdom that you have, and the understanding of who I am, make your choice, and then live for me in your choice. That's His will. That's what His will is. God doesn't always give us the specifics. Sometimes He does, and that's glorious. But sometimes He just says, choose. And based off of the wisdom you already have, live for me there. See, He always has a will for how we are to be. Always has a will for how we are to be as we make the decisions that are before us. It's always His will for us to love Him with all of our heart and our soul. In our mind, it is always His will for us to love our neighbor as ourselves. It is always His will for Him to be glorified. In fact, our passage even goes on and tells us what this will should be about, what it should look like. It says, starting in verse 10, it's right after it says, to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what His will looks like. That's how His will should be demonstrated in our life, right? That's the working out of His will. That's what it's all about. Walk worthy of the calling, He says. Knowing His will should always be seen in our living. It will always have an effect out there. It'll be seen. Walk worthy of the Lord. It is His will that our lives demonstrate the value our salvation deserves. That's His will. You know what His will is. Live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Says it right there. Fully pleasing to Him. That's His will. That the things we do in life are pleasing to Him. That it's His will that in everything we do, we seek to please Him and not disappoint Him. Bearing fruit in every good work. It's His will that the outflow of our lives is from the character of Christ. That there's a kingdom return for Christ being seen in us. That's His will. We know what His will is. Growing in the knowledge of God. It is His will that you go deeper with Him than where you are right now. And whatever it is that you're doing in life. Choosing, going, directions, all the things that we're confronted with. In those places, it is always His will for you to go deeper with Him. It is always His will that you will walk worthy in that place. It is always His will that you will live pleasing to Him in that place. It's always His will that in that place you bear good fruit for Him. That's His will. As we are filled, here's the thing. As we are filled, we start to interrogate our day with these questions. What is the worthy walk in this place? Is it pleasing to Him? Will it bear fruit for Him? Will this take me deeper in my understanding of Him? These are all filters that doing life passes through now for us so that we can understand His will and be filled. Paul prays this for the Colossians. He prays knowing. He knows because this is your purpose for being here. Your purpose is to do His will, to understand His will and to do it. This is your purpose. And then he goes on and we get our second one. It says, be strengthened, right? It says verse 11 it says, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Here's our second verb. Paul's prayer for the Colossians. Whereas the first one was purpose, this is the fuel for the purpose right here, that you would be strengthened. He prays knowing, right? This is Paul praying because he knows. He knows that in the life of every believer, the walk can come with weariness. So often our walk is a walk that is uphill against the wind, with criticism instead of cheers. Rain and sleet, wild animals, you know, all the things, right? So often that's what our walk looks like. We're in the crosshairs of the enemy when we belong to Jesus, aren't we? And so he knows that. Paul prays knowing. And so following a prayer that they would be filled in order to walk, Paul then prays that they would be strengthened for that purpose. Be strengthened, not with normal strength. He says, be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. This isn't our power. We don't manufacture this. Right. This isn't some 5-hour energy shot that deceives your body in thinking that you're a little bit more awake and stronger than you really are. It's not that at all. This is a glorious power that comes from Him. It's His strength and power. And and that's something that He gives us to sustain whatever walk we're called to walk. That's His prayer, that we'd be strengthened. The next three words speak to the quality of this power. They hang off of this being strengthened. It says, for all endurance and patience with joy. All endurance and patience with joy. Be strengthened by His mighty power, with all the power, for endurance, patience, with joy. Those are the three things. Endurance. To remain under a load. That's what it means. To stay underneath it. Patience. To have a long fuse. Remain under a load. To have a long fuse. Patience, endurance. I got to tell you, neither of these words sound great. Just being honest with you. Straight up honest, they don't sound great. Nobody wants to have endurance. Because that implies something. It implies that we're dealing with weighty things, heavy things. We're under a load, right? And that's just not fun. I mean, I know some of you are like exercise nuts or whatever, and you like to do like a wall sit for fun. That's weird to me. But this idea of being purposely under a load, that just doesn't sound fun. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants patience. Right? That's like the scariest prayer we pray. Lord, give us patience. Because then he's like, oh, then he's going to prove it out, right? Because really, patience means that we're dealing with exasperating people. Am I right? Isn't it interesting that Paul says, I pray that he strengthens you with all power, according to His glorious might, for endurance, because it's going to be a heavy load that you keep carrying. And for patience, because we're about people, and people are messy. Endurance and patience. Paul prays knowing. He's experienced the load already. He experienced the people already. If I say patience, a picture comes in your mind of some person. Rest assured, somebody out there in the world has your picture coming to their mind. We all need this patience, right? And this is another one. Be strengthened. This isn't something that we develop within ourselves. Paul's like, we need supernatural help for this. Endurance. And patience. Paul knows, he prays knowing that this is the likely journey for the follower of Jesus. And he prays that our strengthening will lead to endurance and patience, but not these by themselves. There's another qualifying word here, isn't there? Is he strengthened? He prays that we would be strengthened by His power for endurance and patience with what? Joy. With joy. Joy is a hard one, isn't it? It's a hard one. I've had people get mad at me for talking about joy, which is telling because of where they are, right? It's like, I've been upset. I'm like, don't tell me about joy. I don't want to hear about joy. Well, let's understand what joy really is. Joy is happiness of the soul produced by the Spirit. It is completely connected to seeing and being a part of the work of Christ. That's what joy is. It's not circumstantial. It's not circumstantial, but it is us coming face to face with the reality of who God is and what God has done for us and what He's accomplished for us in Christ Jesus, and being a part of that story, having that stability and security in our life. That produces joy. He's like, well, you're going to be working with people and dealing with circumstances that are hard and heavy. But let me tell you something. I'm praying that it comes with joy because you're so connected to Christ Jesus that it is your rock, a solid rock in which you stand, that none of those things, people or circumstances, can take away from you, because that's how great Christ is. And that produces joy. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural. It is His glorious power. I know this is the case for you. I've witnessed this. I've witnessed people under the greatest weight and trial and pain and heartache that is just devastating and would destroy most people. But God-given joy sustains them and became their strength and their testimony, and their lives shouted glory to God as a result of it. That's joy. There is, for the one who is filled with the knowledge of God's will, for the faithful follower whose aim is to please Him, to bear good fruit for Him, to walk worthy. There is for us this vast supply of glorious strength from God. He is faithful to give us what we need to walk where He has called us to walk. Be filled, be strengthened. Now look at what Paul anchors these things to. Just listen to what he anchors this to. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. All of this is anchored to a thankful heart that is securely fastened to the steadfast love of God. Look at what He's done. Look at what He's done. He qualifies us, made us adequate to receive our inheritance of light with the saints. He has already done that. He's already done that. He delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His Son, the kingdom of light. He has already done that. We have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. He has already done that. So these things Paul prays that will happen are anchored to the faithfulness of God who's already done it. And that's why we can have hope. That's why we can grab hold of this and hear this prayer and be like, yes, and God is faithful to do it. Looking for a people willing to surrender and submit and humble themselves before Him. And watch what He does as He does the filling and the strengthening. And as He does that, we will then be confronted again by His faithfulness, and we'll see all the things He's done for us, and then we'll be filled with joy, because only joy comes from verses 12 through 14. Am I right? And we'll be filled with joy, and then that joy will then cause us to do what? Surrender our lives to Him so that He will fill us even more than we are now. So we'll understand His will even better than we do right now, so that we can walk worthy again and bear fruit for Him and all these things, and be strengthened for the load that we have to carry in the journey that we find ourselves. But that's anchored to the faithfulness of God, which produces joy, which causes us to surrender before Him so that He fills us more than we've been filled right now. Do you see the pattern? That's what we do. That's what we want to be about, church, so that God would be glorified. What a prayer. Paul prays knowing. He knows. So this is my prayer. I pray that this will happen for you. And I read this prayer, and I say, this is the prayer for Glacier Church. Right here. This is the prayer for us. And may God accomplish His great purpose in our lives. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the words of Your servant, Paul. Wow, Father, we want to be in a position so that You can do the filling and the strengthening and accomplish Your great purpose in our lives. We want to be people who walk worthy, who produce great fruit for You and accomplish Your will. Father, fill us with the knowledge that You are strengthening us for the task that is ahead of us. And we are anchored to all of this because of the joy we have from Your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.